sex, relationships, and advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Oh, there's this guy out there, this poor guy. I think poor guy. I don't know. You tell me. He's being dragged all over social media today. He is having a terrible day. Here's what he did, and you tell me if he's wrong or right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was on a public transportation, you know, like a train. He was sitting on a train, like Long Island Railroad type of thing, like that kind of train, you know, Amtrak, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sitting on a train, and it was packed. Every seat was taken. And he was sitting next to this older woman, and another woman walked on the train who was pregnant. And he was like busy on his phone, doing his thing, whatever. And nobody was really paying attention. And the older woman said to the pregnant woman, "Do you want a seat?" And she said, "Sure." And he said, and she turned to the young guy and said, "Get up and give her your seat." And he said, "Excuse me? Well, there's a pregnant woman. You should give her your seat." Well, shouldn't that be my decision? Why is that your decision?
Mm-hmm.
And then people around him were starting to look at him like, you know, no other guy who was sitting there said, "Oh, it's okay, you take my seat." None of them said that. So the guy said to the older woman, "It's not up to you to decide whether my seat is available or not." And she said, "Well, you should be getting up because you're able-bodied and you can stand. That woman's pregnant and I'm an old lady."
Who's to say I'm able-bodied? You don't know. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me. And there are signs that say, "Get your stupid ass up for old people and pregnant people." But that's not a law.
Right, right. It's just, it's common courtesy. You just should do it. So the question is, should the guy have acquiesced and said, "Okay, I'll get up"? Or should he stand his ground? He stood his ground, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to get up because he said, "This is my seat and it's my decision. You don't get to make decisions for me." And everybody around him were all looking at him like, "You're the youngest one here. That's a pregnant woman.
Mm-hmm.
You should give her your seat." So it became this thing, and the guy would not get up.
As his right. He was there first. If you wanted a seat, you should have got on three stops before I did.
No, you can't tell people when to get on a train.
But you don't know what's going on with me.
They need to get on the train.
I could be 20 years old and my back could be crap and I can't stand. You don't know. You don't know anything about me. You're just looking at me thinking that I should stand.
You know, it's so funny you say that because I have a friend who's, this was years ago, he's an amputee.
Mm.
And he had just become an amputee. He was in an accident, and that's how it happened. And he had trouble. He was young, and he was a runner prior to that, so he was thin and in good shape. But now he has this like new prosthetic leg, and it's really painful, and he couldn't stand on it yet. So he'd be sitting, but he'd have jeans on, so you didn't know that he had a prosthetic. He just looked like a young, thin guy sitting on a train. So that actually happened to him, where he was on a train, and an old person got on, and someone said to him, "Give this woman your seat." And he said, "I can't stand up." And they were like, "You can stand up." He's like, "No, I can't stand up the whole ride. I'm going to be on the train for at least 2 hours. I can't stand for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, "Yes, you can." They really got on him. And finally, he had to pull up his pants and say, "I just got a prosthetic leg 2 days ago.
And
I'm
you
in pain."
Shouldn't have to do that.
But the fact that he had to out himself as an amputee just to shut these people up.
Here's a new rule. If you don't know me, don't talk to me. You don't know nothing about me. So don't say, "Get up, let her sit there." No, that's the game we play. I got here first. I got a chair.
Right. Well, that's not really fair all the time, especially when you're pregnant. So the etiquette says,
I didn't make you pregnant.
I'm saying the etiquette is... But, you know, you still want to be a nice person in society. You don't want to be a jerk everywhere you go, do you?
Yes, I do. Don't talk to me. Etiquette says I'm supposed to stand and give the chick the chair, right?
No, etiquette says that you're supposed to offer your seat to the pregnant woman and that there's a good chance that she may say, "Nah, I'm good." You know what I mean? Give her the opportunity. The other thing is the old woman also was deciding whether the pregnant woman had to sit or not. You know, no one said to the pregnant woman, "Must you sit? How are you feeling? Are you okay?"
Mm-hmm.
No. So this older woman made the decision for everyone on the train that the young guy should stand up and the pregnant woman should sit without even asking either one of them if the woman wanted to sit or if the guy wants to give up his seat. So really, etiquette says it was the old lady who handled it improperly. She should have asked both of them at the same time, you know, would it be okay? What do you think about that? Rather than deciding for them and demanding what they should both do.
Or we could have bypassed all this and went with my rule, you don't know me, don't talk to me. There you go. There's etiquette for you.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
I'm going to tell you, parents and kids, you got to tell me who is more famous to you. Not who's more famous to the world, but in the Cooper universe, who is more famous?
Okay.
Lenny Kravitz, Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, Zoe Kravitz for sure.
Really? More than Lenny Kravitz?
Maybe Lenny. It's tough because Lenny Kravitz is a great musician, and I know probably a handful of his songs, but I know every one of Zoe Kravitz's movies.
So in your world, she's more famous.
She was in the Divergent series.
I know, but still, Lenny Kravitz has been around a long time.
All right, so maybe Lenny. Okay, so I'll go with Lenny Kravitz.
Okay, Meg
or how
Ryan.
About this? What about Lisa Bonet? What about her mom, Lisa Bonet? Just as famous.
I'm not there yet. You're jumping the gun.
All right.
It's my game, not your right. game. Meg Ryan.
Okay.
Jack Quaid.
Meg Ryan's way more famous. I mean, Jack Quaid's very talented. We love him in The Boys, but he's only done The Boys. She's done, I mean, she's Harry and Sally. Harry Met Sally. She's, You've Got Mail. She's, I mean, yeah. She's
okay,
way
so
more famous.
Your world, her. J.J. Abrams, Gracie Abrams.
I've never heard of Gracie Abrams.
I haven't either. So.
Okay, so J.J. Abrams then, because, you know, lost.
She's hot, though, but. Okay. Goldie Hawn, Kate Hudson.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Yeah. Who in your world, who's more famous?
In my world, Kate Hudson, because Almost Famous, and then the Fabletic stuff, and 10 Days to Lose a Guy, like all my movies. She's in all my movies.
I know, but Goldie Hawn, back in the 80s and 90s, was in all the movies, too.
That's true. She right.
Death Becomes Her.
Is a great movie.
Overboard.
Right.
Overboard alone.
All right, Goldie Hawn, more famous Goldie than Kate Hawn. Hudson.
I don't know why they put these two together. Will Smith, Willow Smith. Please.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Of course, Will Smith.
Stephen Baldwin, Hailey Bieber.
Oh, Hailey Bieber's way more famous. I didn't even realize. What does Stephen Baldwin even do? What does he do?
He's a Baldwin.
I know, but what does he do? Has he been in anything? Is he an actor?
He's an actor.
What does he do? Is he a poet?
Wasn't he in
Maybe he's a poet. I don't know.
He was in a Pauly Shore movie.
You don't know what he was in. He's not famous. No, Hailey Bieber, way more famous.
Lionel Richie, Sophia Richie.
Oh, Lionel Richie, please. Lionel Richie. He's an icon. I mean, Sophia Richie, adorable, but, you know, your dad's an icon.
All right. This has got to kill you, though, when your kid is more famous than you are. Billy Ray Miley.
Oh, Miley's way more famous than Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
Love Billy Ray. You know, got to send the man my love and shout out to him. But Miley is definitely way more famous.
98% of people said Miley. Only 2% went Billy Ray. Lori Loughlin or Olivia Jade?
I don't know what Olivia Jade has ever done.
Yeah, she's just
Other than pretend to be a swimmer or pretend to be a rower, whatever she was.
She's an Instagram chick. So Lori, 95%. That's what people agree with.
Of course. I mean, you know, please.
This is hard. Cindy Crawford, Kaia Gerber.
No, for me, Cindy Crawford. In fact, Cindy Crawford was a real icon for me. She was the first brunette among all the blondes. You know, I grew up with all the models looking at them, and they were all blonde and impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But Cindy Crawford seemed like a little more attainable. Like, I could do that. You know what I mean? She's just seemed more. Yeah, no, for me, Cindy Crawford's way more famous.
I think I've heard you say Kaia Gerber more, though. I think I've heard those two words come out of your mouth in the past. I don't know why.
No, only because she dated Pete Davidson, which is why I talked about her.
All right. Leslie Mann, Maude Apatow.
Ooh, that's a tough one because Leslie Mann. But see, this is tough because Leslie Mann was in all the Judd Apatow movies.
Right.
But so was Maude Apatow.
So who are you picking?
I'm going to pick Leslie Mann.
88% agree with you.
I mean, Leslie Mann was in This Is 40, Knocked Up, you know, The Other Woman. She was in a lot of stuff that everybody loves. So, yeah, Leslie Mann.
Caitlyn Jenner, Kylie Jenner.
Oh, Kylie, way more famous.
92% agree.
Yeah. Isn't Kylie like the most followed, one of the most followed people on Instagram?
Yes. But
yeah, so we always Caitlyn see her, was, her makeup and her baby. And
Caitlyn was pretty famous there for a while.
Not our generation.
Melanie Griffith, Dakota Johnson.
For me, Melanie Griffith was more famous because Working Girl, please. Awesome. Dakota Johnson, for me, was in one movie. She was in 50 Shades of Grey, which was terrible.
68% of people said Dakota Johnson.
Well, it's BuzzFeed.
And this is easy for me. Lea Thompson or Zoe Deutsch?
When your mother is an icon, it's the same thing with Cindy Crawford. When your mother is an icon, you're famous also. But here's how to know. If you're famous because of your parent's more famous. You know, Zoe Deutsch, very talented, adorable. She's been in a lot of horror films that I love. But honestly, Lea Thompson is an icon. Once you do Back to the Future, I'm sorry, icon.
Well, Lea Thompson was on this show.
Deutsch was not
on this show. So there you go. Gwyneth Paltrow or her mom, Blythe Danner?
Well, obviously, Gwyneth Paltrow is more famous.
Which kills you.
Blythe Danner was famous in her day, but not for our generation, no. So unfortunately, it's Gwyneth Paltrow, who's in a Marvel. You know, once you're Iron Man's girlfriend, that's, yeah, you win.
Stellan Skarsgård or Alexander Skarsgård?
The only reason why I know Stellan Skarsgård is because I watch all those, like, stupid foreign films. Mm-hmm. But Alexander Skarsgård, I mean, True Blood.
Has been on this
Big
show.
Little Lies.
Stellan has not been on this show.
Alexander Skarsgård has been on this show, so that makes him more famous to us.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
I don't know if you saw this story, but this daughter posted an obituary about her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone viral for very, very obvious reasons. I don't got to tell you. I am pleased to announce the passing of Stephen Harold Kandusky.
No.
At the age of 74. Yes, pleased to announce. After suffering multiple strokes, one, thankfully, left him unable to speak.
Ugh.
The abusive, narcissistic, absentee father, husband, brother, son finally kicked the bucket. He has survived by, you know, everyone, you know, family members, kids, grandchildren, that kind of thing. Because he treated people with disdain, there will be no service. Special thank you to the staff at the hospital. That they have the name of it, for putting up with this miserable human for so long. Thank you to the residents and staff at the place where he lived for their support towards his family at this time. And thank you to Karma for doing what she does best. In lieu of flowers or donations, just be kind to your fellow human being, spread light and love wherever you go, and don't live your life like this piece of crap.
Okay, so that right there proves it. That I'm going to have final cut say on mine.
Yes.
Because it's like you have to show me my photo before you post it. I have to give approval.
Yes.
It's the same thing with that, because I know if I go before you, you are writing my obituary and it's not going to be good.
Don't you want to be real and honest? Shouldn't I tell people exactly the kind of person you are and you were?
No.
Don't you want people to know all the things I know about you?
I want one of my kids to write it, not somebody who has written 7 books and knows everything about me. It's not you. That's what I'm going to put in the
will. Your kids don't know you. I know you. Don't you want someone who knows you to write it? Your kids don't even know you.
What you don't know about Cooper is whenever we need anything written, anybody, any one of her friends, a press release, anything, we send it to Cooper because that's her superpower, is being able to write things really well. So I don't want you doing mine.
Okay, you want a bunch of lies at your obituary? That's fine with me. You want a fake funeral with people pretending you were nice? Fine with me.
Oh, it's going to be horrible.
Could have been funny. Now it's going to be sad.
All right, you can punch it up. No, I don't even want you near it. You're not going to punch it up.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
It is time to play Little Kid or Drunk Adult. Very simple. You guys give us a call, tell us a little piece of a story, and then we have to guess when that story happened. Were you a little kid or were you a drunk adult? Here's how it goes if you haven't played before. Sarah, kick us off.
I ate a huge bowl of red Jell-O with my hands. Then I turned around and projectile vomited it right back into my mother's face.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. That was a little kid, because I don't think you're going to be eating Jell-O shots in front of your mom when you're a drunk adult.
Yeah, I think the giveaway is that she's with her mom. If you just said that you vomited the Jell-O back up, maybe we might say drunk adult, but that's definitely a little kid. What were you, Sarah?
I was a drunk adult. Yeah, I was drinking at home with my uncle when he told me he'd give me $10 if I could eat this huge bowl of Jell-O in under a minute. My mom told me not to do it, but I did it anyway. I then turned to my mom and projectile vomited it all right back in her face.
Gosh.
I felt so bad the next day, I gave the $10 to my mom.
Good luck getting that out of your
family.
Clothes.
Okay, Martin, you're up. Tell us your story.
I shot my older brother in the butt while hunting.
Oh, well, I would hope that you didn't have a gun while you were drunk, right? That has to be little kid again. I'm going to go little kid on this one.
Yeah, that's got to be little kid. That's got to be out in the backyard playing with a pistol, BB gun, and shooting your brother.
All right, what were you, Martin?
I was a little kid. My parents got us our first BB gun, so we went hunting pigeons. When we got one, I went to go pick it up, couldn't get it. My older brother said that I was useless and what was the point of everything. So I was a little angry and I shot him in the butt with a BB gun.
I love that you knew, Anthony, that it was a BB gun, because you know what it's like to grow up with siblings. You're like, the minute you get a BB gun, the first thing you do is shoot your sibling.
I have taken a shot at my kids. I'll say it, with a BB gun. If you only pump it once, it will sting, but it won't go into the skin.
All right, Susan, you're up. What were you, a little kid or a drunk adult? Tell us your story.
I drove an electric wheelchair straight into an entertainment center and shattered the glass cabinets.
Oh, definitely drunk adult.
Drunk.
Question.
Drunk. I'm going with you. Yeah, because little kids, you don't let them near the wheelchair.
All right, Susan.
I was a little kid. I was at my mom's house, and my mom had recently had knee surgery, and she had an electric wheelchair. So, of course, I was curious about the electric wheelchair, and I wanted to take it for a little spin. So I'm sitting in the wheelchair, and I'm just kind of checking it out, and I look over, and there happened to be some shoes on the floor, and I got the great idea to see if the electric wheelchair could make it over the shoe, like if it had enough power. And so I floor the little joystick as far down as I can push it. And not only did I hit the shoe, I kept going and went straight into the entertainment center and broke the glass cabinets straight in half.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
I don't know why I even talk to people outside of this show.
Yeah.
You should never let me talk to people, because how many times have you told me never say to a woman, you should smile?
Like, never. Like, that's, I can't believe that after the whole Me Too movement, after all the feminism stuff going on for the past, 11 years that we've known each other, that you don't know not to say that to a woman.
And I did. The receptionist. I walked past and I said, you should smile. You should be happy.
Ugh.
But that was just, I was trying to make conversation. I have no excuse. And the minute I walked away.
How did she respond? What did she say? How did she respond?
She gave me this look. That, that's what I got. So when I walked away, I'm like, oh, how many times has Cooper told me not to say that?
Right. million times. Just so you know, she immediately texted her friends and said, ugh, this jerk at work just told me to smile.
This boomer just said, smile to me. Oh, my God. Yeah, so I felt bad the minute I walked past her.
Yeah, the thing that I hate when my... Here's something you should never say to a woman. Yeah, we're going to make this like a PSA for men, okay? So listen carefully. Here's something you never say to your woman, even if it's true. Never say, you look tired. You tired? Did you not get sleep last night? You okay? What's the end game with you look tired? What are you looking for us to say?
You should prop up a little bit and smile and I don't know. There's no winning. Maybe you should get more coffee. I don't know. Trying to help you out.
Okay, so just so you know, we buy a lot of products that we put on our faces to not look tired. We try and get rid of the circles under our eyes. We try and get rid of the bags under our eyes. That stuff is bad in our world. We work really hard to not look tired. So if you say, you look tired. You okay? Let's go. You get sleep last night? We want to punch your stupid face.
Okay, I was a roommate with Cooper for a while. And I learned this that you shouldn't say to a woman, but I did anyway. Are you sure you're going to wear that?
You did say that all the time. And we would get to work and you would spend the day making fun of my outfit, asking other people, don't she look like she's standing in a paper sack? Don't she look like a sack of potatoes? Why she got all those flowers on her? What's wrong with her? Doesn't she look like a... Yeah, I wore this one dress. You spent all day asking people at work, doesn't she look like she's wearing a shower curtain?
Because I was hoping that maybe you would go home, take it off, and then throw it away.
What do you care what I wear? What's it got to do with you?
Because I'm part of the show. I got to be seen outside if you dress like that. And I would always say that if we had a big appearance to do, I would always say, really, you're going to wear that? I mean,
yeah,
you probably thought about this all day. And that's what you came up with.
What you don't realize is I cared very little about what you had to say. I wore it anyway. I never once went back and changed. I just thought, here's a guy who hates sleeves. He doesn't own anything with sleeves, and he's telling me how to dress. I don't think so.
Yeah. Then I would have to take her to the side and say, let me explain so you can understand. Okay. Yes, that's another thing.
Again,
there's
something else you should never say to a woman. Don't mansplain to us. Exactly. Okay. So we'll ask you. What's some stuff that either men that you have learned over the years never to say to women, or women, help out some of the guys, tell them some of the stuff they should never say to us.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
So we're talking about things you should never say to a woman, and I'm just going to throw things out to you, and you tell me if these are things I should say to a woman.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to see if your head will explode. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, don't tell us that. That's almost like saying, shh, calm down.
Calm down. You're being emotional right now.
No, don't ever say that to a woman. Are you insane? Do you want to? We will chop your penis right off your body.
You would be prettier if you smiled more.
No, we already went through this one. I told you the smile thing, none of your business. What I do with my mouth and my teeth, none of your business.
Are you sure you want to eat that? I've said that to you a lot.
Yeah, you say that to me a lot. Yeah, that's a nice way to call people fat. You also say you should have a salad for dinner instead of before dinner. That's your favorite one. That's your favorite way to call me fat.
Hey, Cooper, when are you going to have children?
My whole life. Taylor, what is something you should never ask a woman?
You should never ask them, how old are you?
Never.
Ever. Ever. Never. And never guess their age either. That's asking for a slap in the face. Never, ever ask, hey, you look like you're 30. Okay, I'm 22. you look young, but I'm in my 40s.
You can ask an 8-year-old, how old are you?
8.
Exactly. That's cute then. When they're still counting or they can still put it on their fingers, on their hands. I think 10. By 11 or 12, it's kind of sketchy.
But not 38.
No.
No.
No. When it's a kid, it's okay.
What's your bra size? How old are you? How much you weigh?
Well, it depends on the age. It could be sexual harassment there.
Oh, okay.
Now, Scott.
Hey, Cooper.
Now, Scott, please educate the people that are listening and tell them something that they should never, ever ask a woman.
Well, Cooper, it's great to talk to you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Women should never be asked if the children they're with are their grandchildren.
Oh, no.
No matter how old or young a person looks, because it's really iffy. If they had grandchildren young, then they might be sensitive about it. If they had children later in life, they're also sensitive about it because it could be their own children and not their grandchildren.
That's a very good point.
Yes, it's happened several times.
Yeah, and don't go over to kids and say, don't even ask the kids, is that your grandma?
Right.
Yeah. But if you really want to know, if you spend enough time with the kids, eventually they'll go, Mommy or Grandma, so you'll hear it come out of the kid's mouth. So just, you know, take the rule that Ann said earlier, the 10-second rule, count to 10.
Exactly.
Count to 10.
Exactly.
Good. Thank you, Scott. That's a good one. Scott added a good one to the list. Don't ask are those your grandkids. Terrible.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
I have a friend who's in her 40s and her husband's in his 20s. People are always asking her if she's his big sister.
Oh. Well, that's what you get.
Yeah. Once or twice she's gotten mother. Oh, are you the mother? Oh, is that your big sister?
Can it's I like, date your
if
son?
No, don't ask.
Yeah, that's what you get for dating somebody half your age. You should get those questions.
No, you shouldn't get those questions. It's none of your business. If you don't know us, don't assume what the relationship is. You know, don't hit on my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we're holding hands. I mean, especially when she's walking down the street holding hands. People are like, oh, that's so cute. You hold hands with your son. No, it's not my son. It's my husband who I'm banging.
You're holding your son's hand when you cross the road. That is so cute.
Matt, what have you learned in your life that a man should never ask a woman? Give us some wisdom you want to impart to everybody else.
One that your show tonight made me think of instantly was you should never ask her when she's due to give birth. I heard a rule a long time ago. I read a rule. Never ask a woman when she's due unless you see her feet in stirrups.
That's the rule. That's very good.
And after reading that, a roommate of mine who used to work at a big cosmetic store chain, she said one of her coworkers was actually asked that by a customer, and she ran in the back crying because she was maybe like 19 years old and definitely not pregnant.
Right.
Oh, definitely looked it.
And Matt, I have to apologize for women because we now wear those little tops that are tight on top and then they blouse out. So we're wearing those clothes. That's the look now, and it's a maternity look, really. But for some reason, it's come into fashion. So we're all walking around looking pregnant.
Well, some girls wear what I call the muffin top shirt. Like their love handles poke out like a muffin top.
That'd be me.
Or like a chef's hat or something.
Yeah, I got that going on.
You know, it's tough. I don't know. I don't envy women. I think you guys have it rough, and if you want to wear whatever kind of shirt you want, go ahead. But I don't know.
We do have it rough. Thank you, Matt. Yeah,
you like those shirts because you can eat 3 donuts and then put their shirt on.
That's true. Yeah. That's very true. Well, that's why my Cannibal Corpse t-shirt is black, so it hides all my sins. Now, Charlotte.
Hey, Cooper.
Now, Charlotte, please tell the boys out there.
Hey,
what should they never ask us?
Never ask, is that your natural hair color?
Right.
Now, why not? Why can't we say that?
Because if it is, you've just insulted me. And if it's not, I've spent a lot of time and money on whatever my not natural hair color is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to believe that it looks natural.
Right.
And there are some crude ways that men ask that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Mm.
Yeah, and that's even worse. Because that will get, if it's me, that will get a drink thrown at you.
Yeah, because I got to tell you, I don't want you thinking about any other part of me that you're not, you know, don't ask us that.
If you can't see it in the bar, you don't talk about it in the bar.
Exactly.
Rule of thumb.
I like that rule. That's another, see, we're learning a lot of good rules.
Okay, we got that rule and the stirrup rule.
Yes.
Okay,
the stirrup
I got
rule.
It.
Thank you, Charlotte. That's okay. So is your real hair curl? It's a losing proposition either way.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Here's something you should never ask a woman. I don't care how old she is or what the scenario is. Don't ever ask her why she's single. It's none of your... She's single because there's jerks out there like you who ask her stupid questions.
Well, you're trying to be friendly. You're saying, why are you single? So I will know if I should hook you up with my friends or not.
No, then you say, hey, are you single? Not why are you single? Here's the thing. Are you single is a nice thing. It's like, hey, are you single? I know some guys for you. That means you know, you're being nice. You want to hook her up. You get a good vibe from her. You like her.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you single is a judgment. You're judging, like, there must be something wrong with you. Why are you single?
Right, because you want her to say, because I'm crazy.
Right, like she's going to say, oh, I'm single because I'm a psycho. I'm a psycho, and I will stalk you. And no, she's not going to tell you anything. Again, any question that you're not going to get a good answer out of,
mm-hmm.
like, think before you speak. That's all we're asking. Help us out here, Dave. What's something that you should never say to a woman ever?
You should never ask her, did you eat my brownies? Because that is interpreted as, and this was the first wife my wife and I ever had, is, do you think I'm fat?
Right. That is a subtle way of saying that.
And kind of what started is she was kind enough to pack me a lunch that day for work, but I didn't eat it. I ate out. So not only did I get busted for saying, did you eat my brownies, but I got busted for not eating my lunch because she had my brownies in the bottom of my lunch bag that I didn't bother to open to eat.
Oh, you got nailed.
So, Dave, have you done this move then? Did you open up your lunchbox and throw the food out and then close the lunch bag and then bring that home?
Well, you know,
what
I work
from
home now, so I don't have to worry about it. But what I would just do is eat my lunch in the morning and then go out to lunch.
Now, Grace.
Yes.
Now, Grace, please tell the fellas, what should they never, ever, ever say to us?
Well, you know, sometimes the guys want to go out to a special dinner with Veloz or something like that, and they just tell you, you have to look good tonight.
As if I don't look good normally, and you need to let me know this, because I'm usually looking a big slob.
Yes, that you have to look good, you know, like, good tonight.
Yeah, as if I don't look good all the time. How dare... Yeah, exactly. You're my fashion stylist all of a sudden.
Do I look like a clown?
Right.
What do I look like? Tell me that I have to look good.
So Grace says never, ever say to a woman you have to look good tonight, because it's another no-win situation for you.
Oh.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Men and women should not be together.
Listen, I work in a male environment all the time, and so my husband sometimes tells me, you have to look like a woman tonight.
Like, do I look like a hamster every other night?
I don't know. That's why he lives in Florida and I live in North Carolina.
Ooh, Grace, tell me more. That sounds like a good...
How did you work that out?
How did you work that out?
They teach a class.
It's the best marriage ever.
I'm with her. Thank you, Grace. Thank you.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
One thing I've learned is if a woman says to you, do I have dark stuff under my eyes? You better look really well and make sure she doesn't have mascara or whatever on the bottom of her eyes. Because if she looks later and sees it and you never told her, you ain't sleeping in the same bed for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, you know what I hate what Joe does? Don't tell him. This is just between us. Don't tell him I'm saying this. I hate when he doesn't ask me something and he assumes something. Like, instead of saying, are you going to the gym today? He'll say, you're going to the gym today, right? You know, implying that you better be going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask me, are you going to the gym? Like, I'm just trying to figure out what your day is. Will you be at the gym? Should I meet you over there? What's going on? But just to come out and say, you're going to the gym. Don't talk to me in statements. Ask me questions.
No, you can't even ask you about the gym because he's going to call you fat no matter what. If he just says Jim, if he knows a guy named Jim, he's calling you fat.
That's a good point. Yeah, if we know a guy named Jim, you better call him Jimmy or James.
Because you can't say that word around Cooper. You're going to work out? No, you can't say work out. You can't say sweats. You can't say anything like that because she's going to say, you think I'm fat.
Right. If you're going to ask me about running, it better be my hose, my pantyhose. Are your pantyhose running is okay. Are you running is not okay.
No.
Very simple. You guys understand this. Elizabeth, you ever been in a situation where you were like cringing, like, oh my God, don't ever say that to a woman?
Well, actually, my sister was married to, was, operative word here is was, mm-hmm. married to a guy that when I was younger, I literally was riding in the car with him and heard him say, Susie, it's not her name, but Susie, she looks great, this lady jogging, she looks great, that's what I want you to look like.
She divorced him the next day, didn't she?
Well, no, several years later, but, you know, never, ever would I ever live with a man who would say something like that.
That I wish you looked like that.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, fine. Look all you want. Think all you want. Just don't say it in front of me.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what? I got to tell you something. I will tack a picture of Brad Pitt to your forehead while you're sleeping. Crystal, what is something that they should never say to us?
Okay, especially in this day and age, something that a guy should never, ever say to his wife, fiance, girlfriend, etc. is, where is my dinner?
They have some nerve asking to be fed as if we're their servants.
That would get a guy smacked real fast.
Where's my dinner? Unless you're saying it sarcastically to be kind of Fred Flintstone about it, don't ask us, where's my dinner?
Yeah, because I know... my dad said that to my mom only once.
Right.
And she just kind of looked at him and said, "It's in the kitchen. Now get to making it."
Oh God. And that is usually the answer. Although at my house, if I say where's my dinner, he'll say, "It's in the takeout menu."
It's in the phone.
It's in the phone. Thank you, Crystal. Thank you for concluding our list.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, and advice. That's what we do here on the Cooper and Anthony Show, and that's what we're going to do for a whole hour. Sophia, what's your question?
When I was 18, I had some really good hot sex with this guy from Tinder, and I had known him through summer camp, basically. Didn't really know him well, but anyway, we hooked up. It was awesome. And then he kind of stopped answering my text and stuff. And then he finally answered and said, I don't think we should hang out anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. Is something wrong? Did I do something? And he was like, no, well, I found out that we're cousins. So... yeah, good times.
That is some line. Anthony, did you ever think about dumping a girl by saying you're cousins? It's genius.
When, if you don't see her at Thanksgiving, you might not be a cousin. That could turn out to be a bad lie.
Right. To me, that sounds like a line. I don't believe for a second that you're cousins, by the way. I mean, look, he was dumping you and you asked why. He didn't say, he didn't call you. When he found out you were cousins, he didn't call you and go, holy crap, you're never going to believe this, what I found out. I'm freaking out. Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. That's not what he did. He ghosted you for a while. Then he finally felt guilty about it because he knew you from camp. He may see you again. So you asked him. Had you not asked him, you just would have been dumped and that would have been it. But you forced his hand. So he came up with the cousins line. It's literally the only thing you can say to a woman you had sex with to make it okay to never see her again, where no one is hurt. It's genius. It really is quite genius.
It's not really genius, but because you can find your family tree and find that he is not a part of the family tree.
Exactly. I was going to say on the off chance that he is not lying, you know, it's something that's verifiable. You can check it out on your own. You can research it. You can go 23andMe. You can ask your family. Like, you can definitely figure it out. But even if it is the case, even if it's true, so what? You're not dating anymore. It's not like you're close cousins. Like Anthony said, you're not going to see him at Thanksgiving. So I don't see what the problem is. I mean, Edgar Allan Poe, Albert Einstein, Charles Darwin, they all married their first cousins. The only issue here is the ick factor. You know, if it's true, but I don't think it's true, frankly.
What you should do, though, is send him a Christmas present every year because he's your cousin. So he never forgets you. Just always send him a card. Just send him a birthday card and a Christmas card, because that's what cousins do.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
This hour moves very fast. It's like, whoa, was that an hour? Yes, it was a whole hour of sex questions and relationship questions. The sex hour.
Why are you calling, Glenn?
So my issue, or the reason I'm calling, is because of my partner.
Mm-hmm.
We have bad communication, and we've been dating for 4 years. So basically, I'm the very big on communication. I talk a lot. I love to talk everything out. When something's going wrong, I like to talk about it. I go to therapy every week. I'm into that. When we have a conversation about something important, like our future or something like that, she is completely silent. So that's a hard thing to move forward with.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her, and we get along, and we have all these great things about our relationship, but our communication is just crap. It's largely because she does not respond at all. Like, I tell her something's going on, and she gives me just silence.
This is a huge problem, Glenn. I know that you realize that, which is why you're calling us. Communication and trust, two most important parts of any relationship. If she won't even communicate, then you're left filling in the blanks. You know, and that's never good, because you don't know why she's not communicating. Is she having her own issues? Is she just not want to talk to you? Is she feels like you're confronting her? There's a million reasons why she's not talking. The problem is, because she's not talking, you have to, like I said, fill in the blanks. You have to figure out what's actually going on there. It only makes you guys become more distant and more disconnected. And you obviously want the opposite. So what I would do if I were you, I would put the relationship drama on hold, okay? I'd find other ways to bond through doing like fun things together, whatever you guys are into. Just do that and focus on basically dating her again. You know, if you guys take road trips, if you're into bowling, going to concerts, are you foodies? You know, whatever it is that you guys have fun doing together, spend the next, couple of weeks finding time to do just those things. Don't talk about your relationship. Just remember the things about each other that you love. Go have fun together. Do all the nonverbal stuff together. Then once you feel close again, then she might feel more comfortable discussing with you. Does she feel judged? You know, why she's reminded that she loves you again, but why is she not communicating with you? So I think you have to remind her of all the things that she loves about you. And then you can have a real conversation. But right now, if all you are is, why aren't we talking? What's going on? You don't communicate. It's a drag. So spend time reminding her what you guys have together.
Is Glenn my wife? Is my wife disguising his voice to call in and say there's no, I don't communicate at all. And I'm fine.
It's hilarious that you talk for a living, yet at home you don't talk.
Yeah,
it's the weirdest thing in the world, by the way.
No, you don't need to talk to them. You know why? You've been with them for so long. They know what you're thinking. So there's no reason
Right, that's why I'm saying that you should go do fun stuff together. Remember why you love each other.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
We'd love to hear all of your relationship stuff, everything going on in your world. We're here to help. I'm a psychologist. Anthony pushes the buttons. And you tell us what's happening, Hannah.
So the context of this is basically that I just got out of a little bit of a rough relationship of a person that I basically hated the whole time. And I kind of stayed in it because I kind of would keep hearing from friends and family, how much they liked him or they thought he was a good fit for me or things like this. So I just kind of kept thinking okay, maybe I'm jumping the gun or I should give him a chance and just kind of staying in it longer. And so now after the fact, now that we're broken up and moved on, I'm hearing now from all my friends, how much they hated him and how horrible he was. So my question is basically just moving forward, how do I ask my friends and family for their honest opinions while I'm in the moment?
You don't. You know, you learned a valuable lesson here, Hannah. If you're dating a guy you hate, don't stay with him. It doesn't matter what they think. They don't have to date him. You do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes zero difference how your family feels about him because, you know, maybe the next guy is somebody you're madly in love with, but your friends and family hate him. Clearly, they're no help. So you have to do what you want, not what you think they want. You got to stop listening to other people. It also sounds like you have the type of personality that everybody will tell you what they think you want to hear. You know, they may be afraid of your real reaction. So the problem lies with you more than them. Think about it, because if they knew they can be honest with you, they would have been honest with you. But they're just trying to be supportive. They don't want your negative reaction. And there's no downside to that. Your family wants to be supportive. They want to be supportive when you were with him. They want to be supportive when you broke up with him. The bottom line is how you feel about him is the most important thing.
Did any of your friends not like Joe when you first started dating him?
Here's the problem I have. My friends prefer whoever I'm with to me. And the minute they met my ex-husband, Sean Lee,
he was a good guy, though. Still a good guy.
Yeah, they said both still great guys. They all said the same thing. I literally had friends say to me, if you break up with him, would you be upset if we stayed friends with him?
And we say you should break up with him because we like him and we want him to have a life. And maybe he can find somebody.
Yeah, we want them happy.
Yeah, good point. And yeah,
I get that a lot.
And if somebody was against Joe, you would have dropped him in 2 seconds anyway. So
exactly.
You would have never listened to him.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, and advice all in 1 hour. Ashley, what's going on?
We've been facing a dilemma when it comes to like marriage, where we don't know how to do it because I don't want a ring.
Why aren't you into rings?
I don't wear them. I feel like they're like dirty a little bit.
Right.
But are you guys into the marriage part?
I think we're both down, right? Like I think we're down for everything, but it's like, why spend a bunch of money on this thing that like at best I would just probably lose.
Yeah. So, you know, don't wear rings then. Who cares? If you feel the need to have a symbol of bondage, of co-ownership, get yourself a bracelet, a necklace, a tattoo. But the intimacy of your relationship is about how you feel about each other, not about a ring on your finger. I mean, wearing a ring is no indication of how committed you are, how faithful you are. In fact, I hear tell stories of men out there who wear wedding rings and still have sex outside their marriage.
Who?
And I have seen women. It happens all the time.
No.
And I have seen women who are more attracted to men who wear wedding rings.
Mm-hmm.
That happens too.
It gets the chicks.
It does get the chicks. If people in your social circle have something to say about it, screw them. They're not inside your relationship. Just leave that part out of the ceremony. Don't do the ring exchange. That's all. There's no requirements. The only requirement is just the two of you decide what your marriage is going to look like. That's the only requirement.
And you can't get a tattoo because that lasts forever.
Whereas your marriage might not.
Exactly. Marriages last 5, 6, 7 years. Tattoos, on the other hand, they last a long time, like forever, ever. So you can't never get that off. And when you go into a strip club, you can't take the tattoo off and put it in your pocket.
Good point.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
1 hour of sex and relationship talk. It's sex, relationships, and Cooper's advice.
What's your question, Lauren?
So we live in an apartment that is like a house that's been converted into apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And some new people moved in upstairs during the pandemic. And they like right out the gate started complaining about noise from down here. One was that our bathroom fan apparently shakes their floor. So we stopped running the bathroom fan.
Great.
Things went a little bit too far a couple weeks ago. When we were having sex in the afternoon, and I think their bedroom is directly above our bedroom. I think their layout is the same as ours. And at first we heard a TV in the bedroom turn up really, really loud, and we kind of thought it was funny. But then the next time we went into our shared hallway, there was a typed out letter.
No. Oh, my God. I got to hear about this.
It's typed and dated.
Can you read it to us, please?
So it says, "Hi there. We would really appreciate it if you could please be considerate of us as neighbors when engaging in your activities in this house. As you yourself have stated, the walls in this building are very thin. We make great effort to ensure discretion and would appreciate the same on your part in order to avoid exposing us to noise we really don't want to be hearing and related awkwardness and embarrassment all around. Thank you in advance for your cooperation." And then their names.
Oh, Lauren. No, 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 no. These people have got to go. Listen, if they just moved in and they're already complaining this much, this is a red flag. This is only going to get worse. So you have to put an end to this now. This is like that old analogy, like when you first go to prison, you got to beat up the biggest guy, you know, so that they know that you're tough. You have to stand up to these people.
Go beat them up.
You tell them. No, don't beat them up. But you have to tell them that you pay rent here. This is your home, and you will do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. And that's it. I would say, I would write back to them and say, you're obviously new to apartment living. Here's how it works. If people are paying rent, they can do anything they want to in their own home other than violating city ordinances for noise, like after 10 p.m., whatever it is in your city, and that they are obviously not cut out for apartment living. That's what I would tell them. That's all I would say. And then I would call your landlord, who I presume you know pretty well and have a good relationship with since you've been there a long time. And I would tell the landlord that these new neighbors are creating problems.
They're harassing
me. You're giving the landlord a heads up that these new tenants are problematic for you and potentially for the landlord, too, because if they're complaining to you, trust me, they got a lot to say to the landlord once one little thing goes wrong. And then you go back to using your bathroom fan. And I would leave that bathroom fan on when I'm not home if I were you. But I would go back to living in the apartment that you are paying for as you did before these nut jobs showed up. Let them move out. Let them learn that they don't get to dictate how you get to live in your home. They're not paying your bills. They're not your parents. You know, have extra loud sex at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if you want to.